You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
To the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, looking ahead to a couple of races from Doncaster. Sam Norris joined by Ollie Pimlott in the studio on this occasion. We'll be taking a look at some of the latest news items as well. But first things first, how the devil are you, Oliver?
Very good to see you, Sam. Always a pleasure.
Indeed. Looking forward to the week ahead at Townmore.
Yeah, the ground is going to be a little bit of an issue, isn't it? Because we're going to have, especially in the better races, the Liston group races, and we see with the conditions race tomorrow, limited fields due to it being so soft. A lot of rain in the area, and I believe this evening, very high winds and rain.
Right.
So it could well be very soft on the first day of the meeting tomorrow.
Indeed. We'll have a little look ahead to the big race of the week, of course, the St. Ledger in due course. We'll also be hearing the thoughts of Executive Director of the PJA, Dale Gibson, on tomorrow's Legends race.
Is that his proper title?
His proper title,
Executive Director
of the PJA.
I just call him Legend.
Do you?
Legend.
That's a very befitting title for him. We'll be hearing from him later on in the podcast
as
well. Indeed. A couple of news bits to get through first, though, Ollie. Nikita has been confirmed as taking his chance in the Melbourne Cup this year. Of course, won the Ebor, and we saw Heartbreak City win the Ebor last year and subsequently run an absolute cracker at Flemington. And Nikita obviously has a very similar profile to Heartbreak
City. And he's been
City.
Handed exactly the same weight.
He has, 53 kilos.
He's got a similar profile as well. Won the Ebor last year, ran a brilliant race. Mm. Heartbreak City last year. And it's good to see a young up-and-coming trainer taking the chance to send him over. Could easily have kept him to the UK. I'm sure there'd be plenty of big handicaps he could have sent him to. But he's decided to go for the big one. I'm sure there's decent incentives to go over there, no more so than the prize money.
Yeah.
But it's a huge race to win. If you get a bad draw as well, if you're drawn out in the sticks, your chance is pretty much gone. So it's a big risk, but I think it's a great, great one that he's taken, Ian Yardie. And hats off to him, because a lot of trainers wouldn't have taken the plunge.
Indeed, and as you say, that there are one or two incentives there for trainers from overseas to bring the horse there. But I gather the actual logistics of travelling a horse, Ollie, can be complicated and can cost a few quid as well.
Yeah, you've got to quarantine, obviously, at both sides. Obviously, it's not easy to get to Australia either. I think you've got to stop off in the likes of Dubai on the way.
Yep.
You've got to send a lad over to be with it, at least one lad to be with it every day. The logistics of it is very difficult, but could be well rewarded with that Melbourne Cup prize money being so significant, of course.
Yeah, that would make it very much worth it. Order of St. George has been handed top weight in the race, should he take his chance, Ollie. And the handicapper said he'll be bitterly disappointed if Order of St. George doesn't turn up.
Yeah, and it's the race that Aidan O'Brien has never won, of course. It's the one, it's probably the one big race in the world that he's never got his hands on. Of course, there was a bit of a debacle a few years ago when they just went off like the clappers, didn't they, all of Aidan O'Brien's runners. I think it's one thing he'd like to achieve in his career. Will he send Order of St. George? I find it unlikely.
Mm.
But I think that the handicap has given him a fair crack of the whip with his weight, so we'll see. And it is the final frontier, I would argue, for Aidan O'Brien.
Yeah.
It's the one big race that the lads, in inverted commas, and Aidan have never won.
Yeah, one jewel that's missing from a very illustrious trophy cabinet, isn't
it? Yeah, nearly as big as Wolves trophy cabinet, Sam.
Almost, Ollie.
Flying high.
Indeed. Yeah, it's been a very good start season. Same can't be said for the Minster men, though, Ollie.
Two back-to-back wins, Sammy.
Oh, right.
Two back-to-back wins, we're back.
They are resurgent now.
Resurgent,
okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We'll deal with the news as well that surrounds the Cheltenham Festival. I know we're a good way away from the Cheltenham Festival, but the BHA have announced this morning that it'll be 48-hour declarations for all races at the festival. There are a few stipulations. You can still hold multiple entries in some of the major championship races throughout the course of the week, and I gather that all of the handicaps are going to have two reserve spots in them as well, so you can enter your horse as a reserve in a handicap. But on the whole, Ollie, 48-hour declarations at the festival seems to be a good idea.
And should have been in place years ago,
yes,
shouldn't
it? Yes, it seems to be the one that people have wanted for a while.
Certainly will help our job here at William Hill.
Yeah, 100%.
When pricing up races and stuff like that. There still is the leeway of having them in more than one championship race, isn't there? So you could have it in the Champion Hurdle and the World Hurdle, for instance, which I think is fair enough. But it does make the job a lot easier for the big handicap, especially anti-post punting as well.
Yeah, sure.
Because you're going to have to... I know it's 48-hour decks, but you're going to have to probably put your money where your mouth is earlier, these trainers now, aren't they? They're not going to leave it till last minute now.
No.
So you probably, if you're punting anti-post, going to know more likely 2 or 3 weeks before now what race they're going to go for, rather than it being the last minute.
Yeah. I suppose the only people that probably won't welcome the news will be the trainers themselves, Ollie.
Yeah, but for me, I think 48-hour declarations should be across all jumps racing as well.
Yeah.
I think the excuse is the change in the ground and stuff like that, but we see, how often do we see changes of the ground during the summer here in the UK?
Yeah,
one downpour, and it changes. We don't have a plethora of non-runners, do we, on the UK, on the whole, with 48-hour decks, so I don't see why it shouldn't be the same for the jumps as well.
Yeah, fair enough. As mentioned, we'll be hearing from Dale Gibson very shortly on the Legends race coming up on Wednesday, but in terms of your thoughts on the big one this week, Ollie, the St. Ledger, looks an open enough contest this year, but you've already pulled the trigger in terms of a bet.
Yeah, I'm looking okay with Defoe, backed him at double-figure prices. And I think he's got to be the one to beat because he's guaranteed to go on the ground.
Mm.
He was very impressive in the Jeffrey Freer at Newbury. I suppose he started this year off a mark of 88. I mean, how well handicapped was he then? And he just seems to be improving and improving. Roger Verrin's a trainer who's won the race before with Kingston Hill, got a good record in the race. Andrea Razzini,
cracking record,
unbelievable
at
record at Doncaster, full stop. And the ground's going to come in his favour, whereas the money for the likes of Stradivarius seems to have dried up. The same can be said of Coronet. So there seems to be big belief from the Varian stable that he could even be improving even more so. So I think Defoe's definitely the one to beat. Got Azzini on board, a trainer who targets the race, not an afterthought. Whereas for Gosden, I wouldn't say it's an afterthought because he himself has got a really good record in the race, but I think he prefers his horses to be middle distance rather than stayers. But this has been the plan from the start of the season. This has always been the plan with Defoe. I think he's improved more than they actually thought he would do.
Yeah.
But great trainer, jockey who excels at Doncaster, and the ground is going to be completely in his favour, especially given the weather forecast over the next few days. I think tomorrow and Thursday is very wet and it's due to dry up at the weekend, but by then the damage will probably have been done.
Crystal Ocean 3-1 for the William Hill St. Ledger coming up on Saturday. 4-1 Capri, Defoe's 9-2, 13-2 Coronet, Stradivarius is 13-2, 12-1 and bigger prices. For the rest of them, we're going to get Ollie's thoughts on a couple of races on the opening day of the St. Ledger Festival very shortly. But first, as promised, let's hear from Dale Gibson on this year's renewal of the Ledger Legends race.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Always one of the highlights of the week at Doncaster, and certainly one of the highlights of the first day of the St. Ledger Festival, is the Ledger Legends race. And I'm joined on the line now by a man who is integral in setting that race up, putting it on. It's Executive Director of the PJA, Dale Gibson. Dale, how's the preparation gone ahead of tomorrow, first of all, from a personal point?
Not too bad. Every year brings its own difficulties and responsibilities, and certainly this year no exception. Unfortunately, Gay Calloway had to pull out 9 or 10 days ago. She had a heavy dose of flu and just felt she wasn't quite fit enough to do herself justice, so she pulled out and Rodney Lapping came in. But yeah, listen, we've got another full field, 14 go to post, despite a couple of defectors at a couple of the reserves that have come in, and it looks a wide open event again.
Yeah, another cracking renewal with a few familiar faces who we're used to see turning up year after year, but good to see one or two new additions again, Dale.
Sure, absolutely. Ian Mongan, he comes in for the first time, won a couple of group ones for the late Sir Henry Cecil, so it's great to see him taking part. Brian Harding, who retired earlier in the season, he's a new face, along with Darren Donohoe, who rode plenty of winners for Godolphin in his time, and also Jamie Mackay, who's really keen on riding, because obviously Nicky Mackay had a real serious accident earlier in the season, as did Jamie's father, Alan, who unfortunately took a crashing fall early in the season when he was riding work. So it's nice to see those four new faces. We've had a wide cross-section of riders riding the seven previous runnings, 48 to date. So the four new ones takes us to 52. So we've certainly used the old boys and girls during that period of time.
Indeed, absolutely. In terms of actually riding in the race, you partner Mustaqbal for Michael Dodds this year. Confidence about his chances?
I think he'll run quite well. He's not altogether straightforward. He hasn't got a great win rate, 2 from 28. He has ability. He'll like the track. He'll like the ground. So I'd be quite hopeful. He ran quite well at first last time. So hopefully he'll run his race. But it's a trappy one because there's generally two or three dark horses lurking in this. Les Air won it 3 years ago when I was fortunate enough to be on his run, a horse called Bob. And Detachment takes the eye to me. He's not run an awful lot this year, but he's dropped down in the ratings. He'll like the ground. He's back down in trip. And Detachment could just be one to take a look at. Les is pretty astute when he's waiting on one. And it's a similar pattern to the pattern he followed with Bob 3 years ago. Came down the ratings, long time off, and set him up for the race. So maybe that's the one, Detachment.
Yeah, the mount of Ollie Pears, of course. When it comes to actually selecting which rider partners which horse, Dale, is there a scrum for the better horses, or is it a completely
Well, not really.
Process?
I mean, there's obviously those trainers, those licensed trainers that had entry. So Adrian Nichols, now a licensed trainer, he had an entry, but that didn't get in. Obviously, Gay Kellaway had run once, you had to have ridden that. But there's the odd little weight issue, but basically it's a little bit of a sort of open plan, really. And we've had seven different winning jockeys in the seven different races, and it's amazing that how tight some of these races have become. Obviously, it's a 0-70 classified. The vast majority are very close to that mark. So it just shows you the popularity of the event. Also, it's free entry for the owners. So free entry, no entry fees, 10 grand prize money.
All right. Okay. You won the race, obviously, back in 2014, as mentioned there. Since then, it's gone the way of Sir Anthony McCoy and Joseph O'Brien, so a pretty illustrious role of honour recently. Are there any jockeys you're particularly wary about riding against this year, Dale?
That's a good question. Well, no, not really. It'll be an interesting renewal. Obviously, Brian Harding was primarily a national hunt rider. It'll be different to him when the stalls open. But, no, a good cross-section of lads. I mean, you know, I rode against Ian Mongan, Ollie Pears, Tom McLaughlin, Rod Lappin, Dara, Tony Culhane, Adrian Nichols, Gary Barbwell, George, Tony Clark and Jamie Mackay. So it's nice that we all know each other. I think that's one of the reasons why it works, in that we've all been in each other's company over a long period of time, even if it was in the past. And there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, definitely. We couldn't leave the preview of the Legends race without making an honourable mention to George Duffield, Dale, who takes his place in the race once more at the grand old age of 70, which takes some doing.
It does indeed. I mean, listen, I'm 50 in April, and I can assure you, some effort from a 70-year-old. I've been, been on the bike and running away, and getting myself in trim, and it's some effort from a guy of that age. But he's an exceptionally fit individual, and no doubt he'll be looking forward to it just the same as the rest of us.
Yeah, George partners Soldier Blue for Brian Ellison in the Legends race. Just on to a little bit later on in the week then, onto the St Ledger itself. Who do you fancy this year, and what's an open-looking renewal?
Yeah, very much so. Ground will play its part. It's going to be testing ground come Saturday. Probably ground that's a little bit sticky. And I think the ability to get every yard of the trip will be important. I haven't got the final decks yet, but obviously Aidan O'Brien is very important cog in what actually runs come Saturday. But Crystal Ocean, she looks to be progressing at a rate of knots for Sir Michael Stout, former champion Jim Crowley booked, and at the moment she looks to be the one they've got to beat. Raheen House, he did win last time pretty well. Whether he's quite good enough to take on a classic, I don't know, but time will tell, and it looks to be another great renewal on Saturday.
Absolutely, and there's been plenty of talk for Defoe this week as well, with potential for a bit of juice to be in the ground. That would certainly favour his chances as well, though.
Yeah, it would, absolutely. I think if people are keen on the conditions of the race, then they're going to be wanting to have a crack at it on Saturday, aren't they? You know, it's the last classic of the season. A lot of money at stake and a lot of prestige as well. So I wouldn't rule him out either. particularly trained by Roger Varian, ridden by Andrea Uzzini. They've got a great record at Doncaster, phenomenal record. So they'll be going there with a fair bit of confidence.
Yeah, indeed. In terms of how the week pans out for you, Dale, will you be busy? Will you be at Tanmore for most of the week?
Absolutely, yeah. No, I'm there Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And so it's a busy week. It's probably my busiest week of the year. So fingers crossed come Saturday, I will be lied down in a dark room in a corner somewhere.
Okay, enjoy it. Thanks for that, Dale, and enjoy the week at Doncaster.
Thanks very much indeed. Cheers.
On to some of Wednesday's action elsewhere at Doncaster now then, and we begin with the 320, which is the listed Scarborough Stakes, one of the feature races on the opening day of the meeting, racing over 5 furlongs for this listed prize. It's only attracted a field of 6 here, Ollie, and what was your idea of the winner?
I like the look of Fesme to win this. She was second in the race last year behind Priceless, who of course has been a subsequent Group 2 winner. And Fesme, the first couple of runs this season were poor. In fact, the first 3 runs this season were poor. But she bounced right back to her best at York. Of course, she was 5th in the Nunthorpe last year, was 3rd in a Class 2 handicap at York 3 weeks ago. I believe she's had a wind operation prior to her run at York. So, obviously, that was due to the improvement at York that she'd had that wind operation, the mare by Exceed and Excel. Was 2nd in the race last year. There is plenty of pace in the race with the likes of Final Venture. On official ratings, he's well clear here on a mark of 109. He shows plenty of early pace, but nothing will live with Fesme. She is probably the quickest horse in training, arguably, Fesme. She doesn't quite see out 5 furlongs, I would argue, and the soft ground will be a bit of a hindrance. But she could just blow these away early, especially if she can, depending on where the stalls are drawn, if she can bag the rail early, Frankie will let her bowl along, and she might be able to just nick this from the front because, say, Final Venture is another forward-going horse, but he will not live with her. I think they'll just try and take a toe off Thesme. Say, if the ground does turn up extremely soft indeed, she could be a sitting duck and fall in a heap in the last half a furlong. But if the rain stays away, which hopefully it will, she's got so much speed, I think she could just burn them off early. And as I say, there has been excuses for her first 3 runs this season. Bounced back to her very best form at York last time, and in this listed race, gets weight off, all barring Razzmatazz. I think she's going to be very hard to beat. So, Thesme for me.
Thesme in that 320 race at Doncaster, and Frankie Dettori and Nigel Tinkler, not a combination that we'll see all that much of.
No, but they did team up at York, so Frankie knows the horse. You know, for me, Frankie, he's not like an SDS who's going to ride his socks off every day of the week, but on the big days, the likes of Doncaster, the St. Ledger meeting, that's when he excels. And he'll suit her because he'll just drop his hands. Best front running jockey in the world. I think he'll just let her bowl along and hopefully she'll be very hard to beg back.
Thesme in that listed race then. We stay at Doncaster for the 450. Very interesting condition stakes coming up here, over 1.25 miles. A Class 2 event again. Smallish field has assembled here. Just 5 runners taking their chance, but a very interesting 5 have lined up here. Some of these taking a marked drop down in class, and we've got Mount Logan, last year's winner as well. Interesting little condition seat this, Ollie.
Yeah, very interesting, because the majority, well, all of them have been competing in group company prior to this, dropping into a conditions race. First one, I suppose, we need to mention is the likely favourite Mirage Dancer. Was a debut winner at 2, then they put him away. Was 3rd at Royal Ascot in the Hampton Court and didn't look to stay in the Great Voltager last time. So still got plenty of potential. Very likely race 3-year-old by Frankel is Mirage Dancer, but I think he's worth taking on just with the proven course and distance winner, and that is Mount Logan, who of course won this race last year, has showed good form in group company at Haydock 2 starts back. We know he goes on the track. It's that old variant at Zini combination at Doncaster, won the race last year. He's off levels barring Best of Days and Mirage Dancer, and I think, you know, back in this conditions race, I think it's going to be very difficult to beat. A good bit of placing. You presume as well, they've always had this race in mind, given they won it last year. He showed up well in group company since, back in a conditions race, I think, Mount Logan. For the excellent variant and that Zini combination at Doncaster, going to be very difficult to beat.
Mount Logan then to retain his crown in that 450 race at Doncaster. Thanks to that, Ollie. Just give us a quick reminder of your 2 selections on the opening day of action at the St. Ledger meeting.
In the 320 at Doncaster, hoping the rain stays away for the front-running Fesme for Nigel Tinkler and Lanfranco Dettori. And in the 450 at Doncaster, a very strong condition stakes. I think it can go to Mount Logan, who can win the race for the 2nd year in succession.
Brilliant stuff. The thoughts of Ollie Pimlott there ahead of the opening day of action at Doncaster. And you can hear all the racing live on William Hill's Racing Radio, Doncaster in the afternoon alongside a jumps action at Uttoxeter. And there's racing at Carlisle. Then into the evening, we've got Kempton Park and Listowel as well. It's Kerry National Day over at Listowel. Plenty to come on Racing Radio on Wednesday. Hope you can join us for all of the action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.